A pastor stopped by a fourth grade Sunday school class towards the end of Lent and asked the children, who knows when Easter is and what it's all about? And so one little girl named Janie raised her hand and she said, well, Pastor, it's held in the fall and it's my favorite holiday because we get to dress up and go out and trick or treat. And the pastor kind of went, oh. And looking for a better response, went to the next child, and John said, oh, yeah, Pastor, I know. It's in the winter time. We put up the tree, and we decorate it, and we exchange gifts. Well, the pastor was getting a little concerned by this time and went on to the next little boy, a child that had always, you know, responded during times for children and thought, this is a bright child, and this little boy will know. And so Mikey said, Pastor, I know. It's held in the springtime, and it's about Jesus rising from the grave. Oh, the pastor was so relieved and was about to launch in to what else she had in mind to say to the class when he added, and if he sees his shadow, then he goes back down. And we have winter for another 6 weeks. You know, sometimes we forget what Easter is all about. And I'm not referring to our preoccupation with chocolate and jelly beans. That's okay. And I'm not even referring to the fact that we're gathered here today to celebrate the reality of life beyond the grave. Can I get an hallelujah for that? Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. I mean, we understand what Jesus' resurrection is about, but we kind of tend to stop there and go no further. It's kind of like the strange ending of today's gospel reading. Did you notice that? Yeah, you know, it just, bam. You think, well, isn't there a little more here? It ends with three women fleeing in fear and saying nothing to anyone. You know, that's just a very unsatisfactory ending. And if you look in your Bible, if you look at the end of chapter 16, down past verse 8, you notice that there is more written there about the resurrection. Between verse 8 and verse 9, there is this little section that says the shorter ending. And then beginning at verse 9, there is this other section that says the longer ending. But those were added later by people like you and I who just felt like, what is this? It's like watching television and watching your favorite basketball team play, and you know, the game's almost over, and it's tied up, and the clock's running out, and the shot is made, and it's in the air, and the camera's panning, and you see the clock running out, and the basket hits the rim, and it's about to go in when your dog sits on the remote and changes the channel. Ah! And yeah, they win the game. But were you there to see it? No, you didn't get to experience it. I mean, it doesn't matter how much replay there is or how much extra commentary is. You weren't there, right? You wanted that experience. The resurrection really and truly has to be experienced to be understood, to be appreciated, to taste and see the goodness of the Lord, like putting that chocolate in your mouth on Easter morning. And so, why don't the women get that? I mean, Jesus said they would be surprised that he would suffer and die and be raised on the third day. They come early in the morning, they find the stone rolled away from the tomb, and then they see this man, this heavenly being sitting there in white, who tells them in verse 6, do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Look, there is the place where they laid him. These are grief-stricken women. They watched all day on Friday as Jesus died. They know death. They were already prepared with the spices they needed. They've wrapped many bodies, prepared many loved ones for death. They look, what do they see? The body is gone. They hear, What do they hear? An emissary of God who tells them not to be alarmed. Oh yeah, right. And as if that isn't enough of a shock, he gives them an astounding message that they can't even begin to wrap their minds around. He has been raised. Verse 8. So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. This is far from the joyous proclamation we're used to in John's gospel, where Mary has trouble recognizing the risen Christ, but when she gets it, she does exactly as Jesus says, and she runs off to the disciples, and she makes that announcement, "I have seen the Lord," with joy and wonder and amazement. Instead, these women tell no one. End of story. Well, we need to put ourselves in these women's shoes. What would it be like if we had been there? We'd be afraid, wouldn't we? Perhaps a more contemporary story will help us really get the experience. In December of 2000, a man in Almaty, Kazakhstan, was electrocuted accidentally, and he died and he was buried. 2 days later, his family was shocked when he attended his own funeral feast. He was buried in the Muslim tradition, wrapped in a shroud, placed in a shallow grave. And 2 days later, he returned to consciousness, and he crawled out of the earth naked in what has to be the most classic understatement ever reported by the media. They said, and he had a little difficulty waving someone down from the road to take him home. Now, keep in mind, the point here is not that this man's resuscitation is the same as Jesus' resurrection. The point is that it takes a huge adjustment in one's thinking to accept the notion that the one we thought to be dead isn't. And so fear is not an unreasonable reaction. It takes some time to deal with the reality of resurrection, the revelation and power, the activity of the living God, not back there somewhere, 10 centuries ago, but in your life today. It requires a considerable reframing of one's understanding of reality to come to terms with the possibility, and it's quite understandable that one might keep that information to oneself. I know people because I, too, have been there. I stand before you today to tell you that I have had a personal experience of the resurrection in my life. It's taken me quite a while to wrap my mind around just exactly what happened. And I have to tell you, too, that like all of God's messages, this was not a message given personally to Denise Leslie. This was a message given to me for all of you, because it's about all of us. I didn't realize it until almost a full year had gone by. I realized I was sitting in Asima's living room talking to her about how God, as I listened, Asima shared about how God had been at work in her life. She had an idea that she did. The insight just came on in her mind. She said it was like a light bulb going off, and I could see and feel the work of the Holy Presence in her. And as she was speaking, I was brought back to last year's Good Friday service. I was in a really bad way as your spiritual leader, as your pastor. I was very discouraged. I was emotionally overdrawn following a long string of deaths earlier in the year of loved ones of this congregation. I was feeling the relentless press of financial needs, dwindling resources, overburdened leadership. I was very anxious and fearful about the future. Everything seemed to have just come to a standstill. Do any of you sail Do you know what it's like? Okay, you know what it's like? You get out in the middle of the bay someplace and the wind drops. You can't move that sail. You can stand up there and you can blow on the sail all you want, but you don't have that power all by yourself to move that sail. Discouragement dogged my days. I felt inadequate to the task at hand. And so that evening on Good Friday, it's our tradition to bring the cross up in the darkened church, to lay it on the steps, and there are little candles around and cushions. And people are invited to come forward and to kneel and to offer prayers or even touch the cross. And I went forward and I knelt down and I had all these feelings welling up inside. And I bent down and I touched the cross and it just like the dam broke. And tears joined that moment. And as I was kneeling there, I felt a presence beside me. Another person had come up to kneel beside the cross. And I realized it was Mrs. Yuwo Oma, Sunny's mother, who had come from Nigeria and was visiting with the family, and she had come to the cross to pray. At the close of the service, I returned immediately to my office to remove my robe. And my daughter Moira came into the office and she said, "Mama, Mrs. Uoma is out in the narthex and she's asking to speak with you." And so I put on my happy pastor face and went out thinking that she wished to exchange happy Easter greetings. And I launched into the chat and she said, "Daughter," and I came to attention. And I respectfully said, "Grandmother." And I paused and she looked into my eyes and I looked into her eyes. And you know, the eyes are the window of the soul. And I saw God there. And she said to me, "Your prayers have been answered." And I stood there and I didn't think I'd heard correctly, and I looked around the narthex, which was getting empty, and I stammered and I said, "My prayers have been answered?" And she said, "Your prayers have been answered." It was spoken as a matter of fact. There was no room for doubt or no room for question, but all I could do was repeat, "My prayers have been answered." I was dumbfounded, without comprehension. And I knew immediately what it must have been like for Peter on that Mount of Transfiguration when he witnessed Jesus' transfiguration and he stammered and fell around all over himself trying to make sense as he spoke nonsense. And when the moment passed, I embraced Grandmother Yuwo Oma. And I managed to knock off her hat. And I reached down and I picked it up. And as befitting an evangel of God, an emissary of the Lord, the authority of the Lord, she stood there. And I held it out. And with a slight indication, I knew what to do. And I placed it back on her head. And then everything came back to normal. And she gave me this warm smile, and we said goodnight, and she left. And I walked out of the now dark and chilly lobby realizing that it was very much like walking out of the empty tomb, like the women walking away from the empty tomb, having encountered the evangel of the Lord, announcing to me, "He is not here, he is risen. Jesus came off the cross for me that Good Friday. Jesus rose in my life that morning, that evening, when he announced to me, 'He is not here, he is risen, your prayers have been answered.'" I was afraid to talk about it to just anyone. I had to figure it out, so I picked and chose who I talked to about it. I was afraid that it would all evaporate like an early morning dream, and I would wake up to the same old reality, the old world. Like the women at the tomb, it was much easier to flee away and see what God would do with what I could not. But since that day, I've seen it happen. Our prayers are being answered. As I have watched and as I look into the faces of those of you around this congregation who are new among us, who have stepped into leadership, new life is springing up, new vitality and embracing discipleship, new energy. I have watched as existing leadership has stepped forward to bring about a new service, to meet weekly for a Bible study, for prayer, for planning. New small groups, long tenured leadership stepping forward, a new group for widows, prayer cells becoming a reality. Long tenured leadership catching the vision of empowered servant leadership. Spiritual leaders and leaders of ministries in conversation about how we intentionally fulfill our mission of showing and telling Jesus' love everywhere. Humbling, inspiring, affirming. I feel a sense of unity, of purpose among us, a depth of devotion and intentionality, a loving and joyful and positive presence and sense of being community. I see new folks being embraced and in turn reaching out to return the embrace with their involvement, their love, their commitment. People, God is good when?
All the time.
God is good. God's promises are true. Mark's gospel doesn't leave us at the empty tomb or even with the women frightened and amazed. We need to return to the angel's words. It's so easy to rush past them because we're so consternated by the end of this gospel. We miss the most important part, the great good news in verse 7. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee, where you will see him just as he told you. How about your life? Do you have broken dreams? Do you know disappointments? Are you resigned to the status quo, more than weary, sick to death? Do you feel overcome by the little deaths in your life each and every day, or the more momentous ones of a loss of a loved one, or the loss of a job, or the foreclosure of a home, or a broken relationship? Does life feel like it has no more to offer you? That there is no more hope? Do you live with resignation? People, the message of the resurrection in Jesus Christ, the activity of God among us, is that we need not be victimized by fear or hopelessness anymore. The risen Christ is with us in the here and the now, in our daily Galilean workaday lives with resurrection power. The sting of death has been taken away once and for all. Imagine a little boy driving through the country on a beautiful spring day with his father. The windows of the car are open. All of a sudden, a bumblebee flies in, and the little boy is petrified because he is deathly allergic to bee stings. And the father reaches out and grabs that bee, presses it in his hand, and then releases it. But as he does so, the bee flies and buzzes over by the little boy, and the father, seeing his panic-stricken look, holds out his hand and says, "See?" And the sting, it's in the palm of his hand. The sting is in the palm of his hand. And he says, "Do you see this? You don't need to be afraid anymore. There is no more sting in this bee." People, there is no more sting in the bee of death. There is no more sting in the grave. There is no more sting in the powers of death in this world to discourage us, to cut off our dreams, or stymie our lives. The power of God changes life, our lives. In Jesus' resurrection is the power to transform the world. All the life-transforming power that we need, God supplies. our prayers are answered in the amazing wonder and reality of eternal life. Life lived in Jesus Christ. Proclaim it with me. Alleluia! Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.